So for us to have some type of flexibility to be able to go to these timeshares, this is perfect. You're able to work remotely because you can literally live in Marbella, Spain for a month or so and pay $500 a week for these timeshares, sometimes $300 a week at a Marriott with a kitchen.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Michelle Mojica from Luxury Travel Hacks Club. Michelle is a seasoned travel hacker with a family of six, and she has visited more than 55 countries. Her recent trips include the Maldives, Japan, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, and Disney World. And she is an expert at staying at high-end resorts and villas for a fraction of the cost and enjoys teaching others how to achieve elite statuses with Marriott and American Airlines. In this episode, Michelle shares how to avoid scams when buying and selling timeshares. She also walks through how to use timeshares to stay in luxury accommodations at a fraction of the cost. Not only that, but she's going to show us how to double dip with Marriott rewards by exchanging timeshare weeks. If you're thinking about doing the same, consider the Marriott Bonvoy Brilliant American Express card. Remember, if you decide to apply for the Marriott Bonvoy Brilliant card or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. And if you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And we have links to the Marriott Bonvoy Brilliant American Express card and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipina-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you and to talk about timeshares, which we don't talk about too often. I actually make fun of timeshares a lot. It's by far my most viewed YouTube shorts, but there is a time and place to be able to use them and get some pretty cheap travel deals out of them. And we're going to talk about that and how you can use it to double dip with Marriott as well. But before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about you and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
Okay, so my name is Michelle Mojica. First of all, thank you for having me as a guest. And I'm based out of Phoenix. I own a real estate company. However, I had a timeshare background. I was in timeshares at the age of 16 and I left at the age of 30, and there's a lot of frustrations. No one wants to talk about it, but I'm really here to help timeshare owners and those that really want to get into it because it's incredible once you know what you're doing. I got into points and miles just right before the pandemic, actually, because I have a family of six, so I really needed to figure out how to travel with my family and to get into first class because we didn't want to sit back there with everybody else. So what's going to be the best way of doing that is sit right in the front where you have a little bit more space. And now our last trip, actually, we went to Tokyo business class on 60,000 miles on American Airlines. But going back to timeshares, I had a timeshare background for 14 years. Now I mainly focus on real estate and more people have been asking about how we travel so much, especially with a family of six.
So how do you travel with a family of six? How did you kind of go from timeshares to points and miles and being able to say like, oh, timeshare points are similar or different to credit card points and being able to use that for business class?
There's only really two things that you need when you travel, right? Your biggest expense is airfare and hotel. So when you have the airfare taken care of when it comes to credit cards and miles, your other side of it is hotels and hotel rooms. Your hotel rooms, especially if you love luxury like I do, that can add up to about $5,000 to $10,000. So one of my biggest finds was a penthouse villa that I paid $536 for at the Marriott Ko'olina. And for those that know about the Marriott Ko'olina, that room could be upwards to like $15,000. And I paid $536 for it for the whole week.
So how did you get into the game of credit card points? Like transitioning from timeshares over to credit cards, like what credit cards did you even start with? Did you already have this back when you were like 16 or when did this start?
So credit card points, I needed to figure out how to solve my problems with airfare. Like, I knew how to get cheap timeshares and get rooms for $500 per week. So I need to figure out how to get my family there. So my first credit card was a Citi card because I spend so much money on food and drinks, especially for a family of six. So the Citi Advantage card or the executive card was my first card. And actually our first business class trip was to Peru. We went to Machu Picchu. And at that time it was only, because it was right after the pandemic, it was only 25,000 miles to get from actually Phoenix business class over to Peru, which we had to fly into Lima. So that was my first credit card, and that pretty much solved our problems of getting from here to there, which is airfare and flying business class.
When you were going to Peru, was that for a timeshare deal where you wanted to stay at a timeshare?
No, when I went to Peru, it was just, we wanted to go to Machu Picchu. It was a family trip. So we have our kids pick a destination, one destination each kid every year to go to. When there's not a timeshare, what I do is we stay at Marriott rooms, because by using the timeshare, I actually can earn elite nights as well as Marriott points as well. So it's kind of double dipping between the two.
Yeah, we'll definitely want to dive into how exactly you can do that. But for people who aren't familiar with the timeshare system, there is a right way and probably like a less ideal way to approach this. How would you say people should not approach timeshares first before we get into how to actually approach this?
Okay, so you will get enticed, and that's where I was actually in charge of. I was more on the marketing side when I was in the timeshare industry. And my job was to get people over to take the timeshare tours. Like, you see them at the malls or when you're on vacation, they say, hey, you know, come to Hawaii for 3 days and two nights for free or whatever. And you just have to take this timeshare tour. Or if you're at a resort, they say, hey, come over and, you know, do a breakfast and we'll tell you all about it. So you can buy a timeshare directly from the resort itself, like your Hyatts, your Marriotts. Your Hyatts and your Marriotts are going to be the most expensive ones, or the Westins, right? You can spend upwards of like $50,000 to $75,000 to own a timeshare, which they call it a vacation club, which is mainly on points. And unless if you just want things easy and you definitely love to pay retail, don't go that route, because there's a lot of people that don't know how to use their timeshares and they're reselling them on the resale market. And when I say reselling them, it's literally instead of paying $50,000, you can pay $5,000. But there are those that you can also get for either free or like less than $1,000 or $2,000. So definitely get it through resale as opposed directly through the developer.
Yeah, there's all sorts of those in Las Vegas and Hawaii and other places where they're like, oh, here's a bunch of free stuff for listening to our presentation. And a lot of people in the points community do like to go to those presentations just to get free stuff. You just need to make sure you're very good at saying no to a hard sell. If you're there and you need like a quick script, you can just usually say at the end of it, hey, like, we made a deal. We would trade you 90 minutes of our time for these incentives. You are well over the 90 minutes at this point because they always go over time. And you can just say, like, since you already broke your end of the deal, I'm not really interested in doing some kind of other deal with you today. I'd like to just fill out the evaluation form and go. And they'll let you enjoy the rest of your trip at that point. But there are so many people who, like you mentioned, get kind of bamboozled into paying a gazillion dollars in reoccurring fees each year for these timeshares, and then they want to get out of it. So they just sell theirs for pennies on the dollar on these different resale markets. If somebody was like, that's where I should go, is the resale markets, where exactly are those resale markets that you can shop for these on?
So the most reputable ones, there's one website called redweek.com. So it's R-E-D week, W-E-E-K. And they verify the weeks. You more than likely are not going to get scammed. But that's where really like serious timeshare owners are like here. And there's a part on there where you can get it for free or like a dollar. And sometimes too, like, there's transfer fees. So if I wanted to sell you mine, there's resort transfer fees where it's like, you'll have to pay a couple $100. But a lot of times these owners are so desperate to just get rid of it. And they're just like, I'll pay for the transfer fee. Just take it. There's another one too. It's called tug2.net. So T-U-G, the number 2.net, which is Timeshare Users Group. And a lot of owners will post their weeks on there also either for sale or for rent, right? But the biggest thing really is, if you are wanting to do this, you want to get a great timeshare, because you don't want to get stuck with something like a credit card that sucks, right? That's how we can compare it. A credit card that you can't really use for what it's intended for. So make sure, if you're going to get something out of this, make sure, one, you get something that has a super low maintenance fee, because you might get really excited and be like, oh my God, I can get this for free. But if the maintenance fee is $1,000, you have to pay that every year to the resort. It doesn't matter if you use it or not. Think of it as like your HOA fee. Another second point on that is making sure that you do get something that belongs to Interval International, which is the exchange system. And we can dive into that even more.
You mentioned earlier that you will most likely not get scammed if you're going through these websites. Is there ever anything to watch out for where 90-some% of the time you're okay, but here's a red flag in case that is like a scammer on one of these forums?
I would say Red Week does verify the information. Tug is your dealing. I haven't had the experience of dealing with Tug, because you're really going from one owner to the other. The best thing to do would call the resort and verify that the timeshare is paid off. This is the actual owner. And even then, because I know a lot of these scammers are crazy and they're really, really good. Don't send anything through Zelle unless if you know them, or maybe do PayPal and do like a PayPal protection, that type of payment. But at the end of the day, if you're getting it for free and they're offering to pay for your transfer fee anyway, just, and then there's also, you can also go through a title company. Some title companies will verify all that stuff for you and handle it, and you'll have to maybe pay a couple $100. So it's important. There's not a lot of people, or I haven't really met anybody in this timeshare world that's doing what I'm doing. So get with somebody that knows what they're doing. And number two, just verify all the information, just like anything else. If it sounds like too good to be true, or if you just feel it in your heart that you're probably gonna get scammed, it's more than likely is a scam.
For anybody who's like, I got myself a timeshare long ago and I need to get rid of this thing, I am not using it, the reoccurring fees every year are adding up, are these forums the best way to just get rid of your timeshare? Is the resale market, or is there another way for somebody to just get out of their timeshare agreement?
Those two are, first of all, there's a lot of timeshare exit scams that are out there, where all these companies will say, okay, pay us $3,500. And all they do is just list it, right? I mean, there's also eBay. Some people will go into eBay because some brokers will post their listings on there through eBay. I would say your biggest thing is calling the resort directly, maybe doing a three-way call, hiring a third party, like a title company, definitely, to do all this stuff. But I would say stick with those two. Try to avoid eBay if you can, but definitely go through just Red Week or Tug if you have those two choices. Because anywhere else, you're probably going to go down a rabbit hole. And if somebody was really excited to just give it to you, more than likely, one of two things. The timeshare sucks. You can't exchange it. It doesn't have like an exchange power where you can get like a Marriott or a Hyatt. And number two, they've been paying for it. I had one that somebody gave to me and they bought it like in 2005, never used it in 10 years. And they just have no idea. Stick something that has a great brand too, like a Sheraton. Marriott's are really a little bit more expensive, but you don't need to really own there. But if it's something that has of a reputation where you can verify the information, not just like a one-off resort somewhere, that's what I would recommend.
So all of these different timeshares that are kind of co-branded with the hotels that we already know and love, like Marriott and Hyatt, would you say those tend to be the better timeshares, or are they more expensive because they're brand name?
They're more expensive because of brand name. So your typical Marriott timeshare, as far as maintenance fees, because when we go back to talk about maintenance fees, that's what you're responsible for every year, right? And a lot of them, like a Marriott, would be $1,500 per year for your maintenance fee. So that's the reason why I mentioned owning something that's like that has a cheaper maintenance fee, but also has a great trading power, because you don't necessarily have to own at the Westin or the Marriott to be able to stay there, because all you need to do is own at a less expensive resort. Like mine literally looks like the Motel 6, and it's not rated whatsoever. I don't even think it's, I don't know, maybe it's like a 2-star, but I've learned so much about it, like probably have spent 4 to 5 hours per day just in my spare time, just learning how to do this thing to be able to trade for like the Hyatts and the Marriotts. But if you do own there, it is a great product to own. And you are, if you are planning on something, you're pretty much guaranteed to be able to stay at those particular resorts.
So the strategy is to find a motel level timeshare that no one's really going to stay at, but you're going to use the trading power to stay at somewhere like a Marriott where you don't have to pay the West End fees, but you can still kind of like backdoor your way in there.
Correct. Yes. And most people think you have, and that's like the number one question I always get, because every time I post in my stories, it's either like the Hyatt or the Marriott in Hawaii. Everybody wants to go to Hawaii, except for travel hackers. So we're like, all right, we're kind of done with Hawaii. But most people think you have to own there. And if when they look into it, the maintenance fees are pretty high, like $1,500 to $2,000. But no, you can own at a lower end property. You just need to know the exchange power of it and making sure that it is through Interval International for the exchange purposes.
How do you verify those things? How do you make sure it's through Interval International for the trading currency to work well? And how do you check the exchange rate between the property that you're getting off of Red Week or Tug or something like that versus, okay, ultimately I would like to stay at a Westin. How do you check for all of those steps to make sure that the currency conversion in like timeshare currency is going to work the way that people want it to work? Because that seems like a couple extra steps.
Yes. So one, you have to verify with the resort. Okay. Most timeshare owners don't know the exchange programs because they've never used it. This is why it's so great, because a lot of times, you know, the less people that know about something, the more opportunities that you have, right? So one, you have to verify with the resort, who do you exchange with? So you can call the resort directly, like which exchange company do you guys exchange with? So there's two exchange companies. There is Interval International and there's RCI. So it's II and RCI. RCI, I'm not a big fan of, like they have the Hiltons and more like lower end properties, but Interval International, they have the Hyatts, they have the Marriotts. So you have to call the resort directly and verify, because sometimes they might be part of both. And the biggest thing is, since Marriott Vacations Worldwide owns Interval International, that's where their inventories are going to be. So if you want the best resort, that's where you really need to go. The biggest thing with these deeds too is you own them for the rest of your life. So for example, if they're part of Interval, you're going to be able to exchange through all that network of resorts that Interval has.
So is a 1 week deed at your Motel 6 timeshare going to get you 1 week at a Westin?
Yes.
How does that work?
What happens is, even though more and more people have been traveling, obviously now after the pandemic, right? The resorts still have this, like a lot of inventories that are vacant, which is the reason why they have to sell all these vacancies and these vacant rooms. So same thing happens. Most of these timeshare owners can't go and take these vacations. Most of these timeshare owners don't even know they can exchange to like another destination, because when timeshares were created, people used to go to the same resort over and over and over and over. So a lot of that age group, let's just say in their 70s, they have no idea how an app works. They have no idea they can even log in. They're still calling in to see what's available, when in reality, you can do everything on the website or on the app. So our generation, when I say generation, I'm in my 40s, right? I know how to work an app. I know how to log it in. Like I never have to call them. So there's always availability there, because there's always availability at the resort. So it really depends on the season. Like you're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to go to Hawaii during the peak season, like in the summertime. Is it possible? Yes, and I've done it, but there's going to be less inventory.
If you're looking to earn more points and miles, there are usually two main ways to get there. The first one is with credit card sign-up bonuses, where you can easily earn tens of thousands of points by putting your expenses on a new credit card. If you're in the market for a new credit card, we offer free credit card consultations and provide you with personalized recommendations based on your particular travel goals, budget, and lifestyle at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. But there are also a ton of ways to earn points outside of opening more cards. And we have some of my favorite methods, like stacking, finding hidden bonus offers, and finding reimbursable spending strategies, outlined in my free webinar called You Do Not Need 20 Cards. Check out the free webinar on geobreezetravel.com/webinar. And we have links to both the free consultation form and the free webinar for you in the show notes. And now, back to the show.
So does it work like an award calendar where you say, I have 1 week of like nights I can use based off of my Motel 6 that I'm not going to use at my Motel 6 timeshare. Let's look at this website and it will show me all of the award availability for all of the different hotels, and I'll just pick a hotel I like and then see what weeks are available. Is that how it works?
There's two parts. There's the resort inventory and there's also the owner inventory. So if I own somewhere, I could decide not to use it and put it in there.
Yeah, so that makes sense. So you're like, okay, what I have access to is this Motel 6 for a week. I'm not going to use it, so I put it back into the inventory management system. Yes. So they give you what in exchange for that? A voucher that you can use for a week somewhere else?
Yeah, so my week, I can pretty much log in, like my week at my Motel 6 week, I just click exchange. I just do a search and it gives me all the Marriott rooms, the Hyatt rooms, the Westin rooms. There's Welk resorts on there. There's all these resort not branded resorts all over the world. So it's anything that's within that inventory. You can search up to 2 years to be able to exchange to those particular resorts.
So what you would tell the system is, hey, I'm not going to use my week at Motel 6. I'd like to exchange it. And then you just tell it that it gives you a whole list of different properties where you could use your 1 week instead, including a lot of higher end resorts.
Yes, all over the world.
Okay.
Yes.
And would it all be like with the Marriott Hyatt system, like you can use it at Marriott or Hyatt or any of these other places, or it tends to have, like how do they filter what you're allowed to do?
One, it depends on what inventory has been deposited. Now, when we talk about Marriott owners, they do have higher priority because they are paying more, right? So here's an example. I own one like at a little bit better property, which is at the Sheraton Desert Oasis in Scottsdale. And then I have my Motel 6 ones, right? Sometimes I will see a little bit more inventory with my Sheraton one as opposed to my Motel 6 ones. But every time I trade my week for the Sheraton, like the Sheraton week, that cost me on average of $1,200 because my maintenance fee is much higher as opposed to $536 for my Motel 6 one. But I can always see something with my Motel 6 one, which is my like the Marriott's, the Hyatt's, Marriott Coalina. So the timeshare salespeople will tell you, you need a higher end property to trade for a higher end property, which is not true whatsoever. Because I can see, and I have proven that I could see the Marriott Coalina, Maui Ocean Club, Bali, Marriott in Bali. So anything that Marriott has extra inventory with, they will deposit into that website or Interval International, the exchange system.
So you don't need a high-end property to trade for a high-end property. You could get a low-end property and trade for a high-end property with a more limited availability window of when you're allowed to book. So they kind of give them the leftover availability space, kind of like when we see T-minus 14 last-minute availability with airlines.
That's correct. But also, if there's a lot of inventory, they have this thing called like the dump, right? And I think airlines does that too, where they have a lot of inventory. So that's how you would compare it to anything else. Like in Aruba, in around April, maybe there's less people that goes to Aruba in April, then they'll put a whole bunch of this inventory that you can really have free range. And it's still beautiful weather. It's not necessarily like a bad thing. So for us to have some type of flexibility to be able to go to these timeshares, this is perfect for like, if you're able to work remotely, because you can literally live in Marbella, Spain for a month or so and pay like $500 a week for these timeshares, sometimes $300 a week at a Marriott with a kitchen.
So let's talk about double dipping with the usual Marriott program so that you can get some points to use those at regular Marriott hotels in addition to the usual weeks that you're getting through your timeshare with Marriott.
Okay.
How does that work?
So if we go back to exchanging my week, now I grab a Marriott week. My last Marriott stay was at the Marriott Phuket Beach Club in Thailand. Okay. So when I grab that week, now it's under my own reservation, under my name. It has a Marriott reservation number and the Marriott, I can connect that to my Marriott Bonvoy account. Okay. Or I can give them my Bonvoy number at check-in. So depending on the property that you're staying at, you can actually, since I'm going there for a whole week for 7 nights, I will get 7 elite nights for that stay for a week that we paid $327 for our stay at the Phuket Beach Club for a 2-bedroom, which normally would have cost like $4,500. And I got 7 elite nights And I only got 1,000 welcome points. So some resort will just give you your elite welcome points, right? If you have status. And some resorts will actually give you money on the spend as well. So just make a habit on charging everything, which you already do anyway, charging everything to the room. Not only will you get the 7 elite nights, you'll get your welcome points. And sometimes you will also get the money on your spend as well. Easiest way to hit your elite status.
How many nights of timeshare do you have, like, per year, you personally?
I personally have on average of 25 to 30 weeks of timeshares that I hold on to. Only I started with 10. Well, actually, first I started with one, and I'm like, okay, I really need to have more. 25 to 30 weeks of timeshares. So let's just say 30 times 7 is that 210 nights per year. But I also use it for, like, I own a business. So I own a real estate business. So I use it for my team. I send them on vacations, which would only cost me like $500 for the week. So it's been great to create our culture. But you only really need like one or two. The reason why I have so many is because sometimes there's two ways that you can use your timeshare. You can exchange it, right? You get 1 week for the next week, right? Which will cost you $536. They also have this thing called getaways. Right now they have this thing called Platinum Escapes, where you can go to Salt Lake City at the Marriott there for a one bedroom for like $227 for the whole week. And you can get your 7 elite nights and you can get your spend. So instead of exchanging my week, I can get like a getaway week for $227 at the Marriott. So you can have all these other options, because when they do have extra inventory, they will put them on sale just like anything else. And you can book those extra weeks as well.
You mentioned you have 25 to 30 weeks. Mm-hmm. Why is there a range if 1 week translates into 1 week?
Because now this has turned into like a business for me. So instead of people wanting to go to like Red Week or Tug and try to find the ones that I own, there's not a lot of people that want to sell them. And even if they do, they're like, hey, I'm just done with this. They'll contact me and be like, do you want it? Because I sell them as I go too. I sell them for $2,000 per deed, which you'll get your first trip back. Like, I had one where they were planning on going to Disney, staying at the Disney Springs for a two bedroom, which would have cost about $7,000 to $8,000. I'm like, you can get this week for like $800 with all the fees. You can buy a timeshare for $2,000 that includes all the fees, and you can have this timeshare for the rest of your life. And the only thing you pay every year is the $307 for your maintenance fee. That's the reason why I have an average of 25 to 30, because I use them personally. I use them for my business. And if anybody does want a particular week, then I would sell it to them.
That makes sense. So yeah. You're buying these, but also reselling them as a business.
Yes. Yes.
So if you have 25 weeks, I thought you were honestly going to say 25 to 30 days. I'm like, oh, that's half of globalist status. So that's all of globalist status by a mile.
Yeah.
So do you have to physically stay in all of these with Hyatt, or is there some kind of another backdoor where you're like, all right, so 60 nights is, we'll just call it, like, if you wanted to stay 10 weeks at a Hyatt, and then you're going to have more than globalist. Do you have to physically be at the timeshare, or can you exchange your week for a week at a Hyatt, maybe send somebody else and still get your elite nights and get your status that way? Is that a thing?
Okay, so first of all, this doesn't work for Hyatt, because I've tried it so many times. There's a Hyatt in Sedona and Puerto Rico. So the elite nights and the points for the Marriott, where you can double dip, that works, because Interval obviously is owned by Marriott worldwide. Hyatt's, I haven't figured that out yet, but anything like Marriott related, like your Westins or your Renaissance, yes. I will stay somewhere for like two nights and then give the rest of the night to like my team, right? But I will still get my 7 elite nights. You can also do this thing called like guest certificate. You're only supposed to get elite nights if you are staying there, because in reality, just like anything else, like if you stayed at the Marriott, they're like, you have to be there personally to stay there. But what I have been able to do, like, I've done staycations where I've stayed the first three nights and then my team takes over or somebody else comes in, and I would still get the 7 elite nights, if that makes sense. So that's a way of how you can go around it. But the Motel 6 timeshare that I own so many at, I've never been there. I've never stayed there, but I'm happy to pay them $307 for the whole week and then be able to exchange that. But to answer your question, there's ways how you can go around it. You don't necessarily want to obviously abuse the system, but if you're going to check in and stay there, then you can get the elite status for the whole week or elite nights and the points.
There's somebody listening to this podcast being like, no, I want to abuse the system. So let's talk about how to get ambassador status with this. If you wanted to stay 100 nights at a Marriott, that's about roughly 15 weeks out of the 25 or 30 that you have. So if you just stayed 15 weeks at different Marriott timeshares, does that cover the 100 nights that you need for ambassador? Yeah. And $20,000 minimum spend to hit ambassador, does the amount of money you're putting into the timeshares, can that count towards the $20,000?
No. So it's $23,000 now. I've been able to hit ambassador for the past three years. So yeah, they just upped it to $23,000. I'm actually up to like 122 nights right now. And it will be much harder to hit ambassador. And the only way I was able to go around it is, well, let's start with this. Your $307, that doesn't count because that's paid to the resort. That's for your maintenance fee. The exchange fee doesn't count, which is $229. So that's not going to be going towards your spend. But what I have been able to do is that if you do own a business or if you hold meetings, out of those Marriott Elite Nights and points that I have earned, if I'm going to go ahead and create an event like that, I will stay at a Marriott property. And instead of having it as an event, I charge it to the room, right? So I charge it to the room, and that's how I'm able to hit that $20,000 or that $23,000. That's like another way how you can go around it, but it will take some type of expenses because it's going to take a whole lot of spending money to be able to get there. There's no way. However, titanium is great. I mean, the difference between titanium as far as what you're going to get and ambassador, I do use my ambassador status a lot, especially with traveling with kids and getting connecting rooms and whatever else. But I mean, if you have titanium and you can get there rather quickly with the timeshare, it's actually a great benefit already. But unless if you're going to spend money, you're probably not going to get there as ambassador.
Yeah, for titanium, you just need 75 elite nights these days. So that's about 10 or 11 weeks in a timeshare. Plus, like, you can get automatic platinum status with a couple of Marriott credit cards. So that'll knock off a lot of the requirements already. So you probably need like a few weeks at most, four maybe.
Yes. And honestly, it adds up because sometimes you'll just see like really, really great deals where you're just like, okay, I need seven more nights. But if I can just go to like Salt Lake City or something like that, because I'll have a lot of rooms during low season and only pay $200. Or Florida is like the timeshare capital of the world. You can literally get a Sheraton or a Marriott room there for like $300 for the whole week, and then hit your seven nights if that's all you need, and then get extra points as well.
And you do have to physically be present in the room, like you or somebody like your team. You can't just make a deal with the property to be like, hey, you're getting your money. You don't have to do any housekeeping or anything like that. Is that allowed?
Yeah, I mean, I had it where like I don't check out because we were in Mallorca 1 year, and depends on the country too, right? When we were in Mallorca, we checked in like 2 days later and I only got five nights. Or if you're going to leave a couple days before, like I just don't check out. So they never really call and be like, hey, there's nothing here in your room, and check you out, because you could just be doing something and then coming back. Because you have to look at it this way. This is not a regular hotel room. You're getting a timeshare where you have an actual ownership, where you're staying there for like that whole week. You're pretty much taking over somebody else's week, and that week is already taken over by you. So it's not like they can just cancel it on you or whatever else, because that whole week is already yours. But I had it before where I tried it, where I would call and be like, hey, it's already connected to my app. And I would call and say, hey, my cousin's checking in. Can I go ahead and add them? It is a little bit risky. You can do it. I'm not telling you should do it, right? But there was one where I connected it to my account where I was supposed to go to Bali, and I had canceled the room or exchanged the room. And for some reason, I still got the seven elite nights and 1,000 points because it was connected to my room, even though I didn't go. So you just never know. I mean, there's a lot of ways that people can figure out, but I'm not telling you to do it. So
yeah, that makes sense. Any other tips and tricks with connecting timeshare stays to different accounts to kind of double dip and use it to elevate your points game as well? Are you able to get some kind of like United status since United and Marriott are partners as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there it's more of like going into your Marriott status and then whatever the benefits are. I'm so simple. I have so much, you know, when you're busy, you're just like, okay, this is what works. So you kind of, you know, you focus on it, right? This is really the biggest thing is, I mean, you can live at these timeshares. Like some of them you can have for up, you know, they have like a limited amount where you can only stay there for 3 weeks. But in reality, if you're traveling all over the world and you're staying for $350 when they do have a sale, right? You can stay pretty much at a timeshare for about $1,500 for the month, get points and status and housekeeping and no other bills. It's like my retirement plan. I'm going to go ahead and rent out my house once our kids are out of the house and stay at these timeshares where at the very most it's going to cost me $2,200 for the month to like maybe go stay in Hawaii somewhere. But it's more, it's right now, it's just a lot of fun and there's a lot of opportunities only because not a lot of people really know how to work the system.
Is that something that somebody could do if they were just a digital nomad? And how feasible is that if someone was like, all right, I've got 30 weeks of timeshare and I'll just like hop around the world and see what availability is there last minute before going to my next city and then just paying $300 or $400 per week, which is a lot cheaper than staying at an Airbnb. Is that a feasible option?
Yeah.
Or do you run into like different constraints trying to do that?
No, definitely you can do that because when I mentioned low season, when they do like, it's called like a drop, right? When I mentioned low season, the weeks are so cheap, but you can also like book them back to back because there's really no limit unless if the resort says you can only stay here for 3 weeks. So it's fine. Stay there for 3 weeks and go somewhere else for 3 weeks. You can do that because then once that inventory is released, like if you wanted to go to Thailand, that inventory is released like months in advance. So you can really plan on it and stay in Phuket for like a couple months. And what's awesome about it is because now you've kind of built this community of nomads and you have friends, right? So a lot of these rooms are 2-bedroom rooms. So in reality, instead of staying at a hostel, like I did a calculation on a Marriott room for like, it was literally $33 per night. And if you rent it out like the other half, you have a full kitchen. The other person, sometimes they're like a lock off where you can actually have your own entrance because a lot of those timeshares are like that. You can rent out that other room so your week could even be paid for because these are not like hostels where it's questionable if you even want to stay there. These are beautiful resorts that you can stay at. And like I said, you can even rent out the second room. So yeah.
Yeah, that is a life hack right there.
It can even be like a great investment and, you know, have everything paid for, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. So with all of the knowledge that you've amassed about like timeshares and how to kind of integrate that in with a points and miles strategy for earning Marriott status and lots of other hotel points, because if you already have 30 nights covered by timeshares, it's only a matter of time before you use those to earn points and just cover the other 20 nights at regular hotels. With all of this knowledge, what would you say is your number one tip for listeners today?
Change your mindset to what's possible for you. I think it starts with the mindset of that's what I want and I can have it. It took a while for me to, because I think sometimes you settle, right? You settle for the seats in the back because you feel like that's all you can afford. But once you shifted, I shifted to like, I'm going to sit in first class and I'm going to figure out how I'm going to get 6 of my kids there. Elevating your travel experiences. I feel like with miles and points, so many people just focus on how can I get something for free? And when in reality, you just spend a couple hundred dollars here, a couple hundred dollars there, and that kind of adds up to so much more. But also starting with, it sucks looking at the parking lot in Hawaii. Like I want to look at the ocean and I would rather stay at a Marriott or a Westin as opposed to like maybe the Days Inn. I don't know. Be grateful for what you have, but also at the end of the day, don't settle for your situation because I mean, there's such a big world out there when it comes to points and now like timeshare possibilities because not a lot of people really know about this. And I think there's how people feel about credit cards, like don't get credit cards, like you're going to get into debt, like all these bad things about it. It's having an open mind and what it really you know, what doors they can open for you, because another person's opinion of a bad experience, which I get it, there's a lot of really bad timeshares out there. But if you tell yourself, this is what I want, the type of experiences as far as luxury, there is no way in my wildest dreams that I can think of staying at a $15,000 room at the Marriott Colina penthouse villa, a $15,000 room, staying there for $536, earning elite nights and points on top of that. Like, if somebody was to tell me that, yes, it sounds a little bit too good to be true. But if somebody has proven that this can be done, I mean, obviously believe it when you see it, but there's a lot more people out there, especially in this community, that are really wanting to help you, because it is an incredible experience once you get past the doubts and, you know, and everything else.
Yeah, great tip. And speaking of great tips, can you give a shout out to somebody else on the internet who you would recommend listeners follow for even more points and miles tips?
Yes, I don't know if you've had him before, but I love Ben's Big Deal. I think once you really focus on this is what I want out of life and growing a community, we actually ended up being at the Marriott Colina at the same time for some odd reason. But I feel like he really dives into it. He puts a lot of effort into his videos and he's knowledgeable. But yeah, I love Ben's Big Deal. He's incredible.
Fantastic. And where can we find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram. I'm the most active there, which is at Luxury Travel Hacks Club. You can also follow me at Michelle Mujica Official. If you already own a timeshare now and it is part of Interval International, I do have a group, which we have around 23,000 members, which is called Interval International Travel Hacks. That's where you can also go if you are debating if you do want a timeshare or not. I do post like screenshots on there of like some of the deals that I have found. So you're kind of like, so it's, you can see exactly what is on there. And you never get to see that because a lot of timeshare people are like, hey, this is what you can do and whatever else. But in reality, most of the time they're lying to you. So that would be your unique opportunity to really see what's available.
That is a fantastic resource that I'm sure a lot of people who dove into timeshares were like, I wish I had seen that beforehand. And a lot of people who have thought about it, but like made some decision or another were like, yeah, I wish I had some knowledge of like what was actually possible out there. So thank you so much for creating that resource and that community. And thank you so much for coming onto the show today and sharing all of your knowledge.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate you. And we'll be at the travel conference in November as well. So I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
I'll see you there.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!